welcome to Hank Rings. I am Hank Jones, and this is sort of a short version of Hank Jones Poly Sports here on blog or Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com. Welcome, Duck Northwest Media, in the house, in the chat room. So this is going to run through the brackets a little bit, but there's something else I wanted to talk about. Okay, so you look online and you're seeing the now they have footage of the Russian jet and the U.S. drone. I think Hawkeye Mike said it best. It really boils down to this. It's a feckless, spineless administration. It's an administration that doesn't know what the hell's going on half the time. Here's what he said. I'll read the text. Russia shoots down a U.S. military drone operating in international waters in the Black Sea, and nothing from Biden. How weak and feckless can you be? At a minimum, we should announce that any attempt to harass U.S. military or vessels operating in international waters or airspace will be met with an immediate military response from the U.S. This is no time for cowardice. This pathetic excuse for a president will stumble bum us into war with his weakness. How would Reagan or Trump react? Now, someone else added, Indy Hawk added, routine operations in international airspace, unacceptable. Hawkeye Mike added, I wonder if any U.S. fighters were nearby when the Russians took down these drones. If they were and wanted to react, but Biden said no, I think we need to know. I wouldn't be surprised if we had aircraft and or ships nearby, yet we don't react. I remember I read back earlier, how would Reagan or Trump react? I'll tell you, they wouldn't, because it wouldn't happen under Reagan or Trump. It simply won't happen under a U.S. president who has any concern and demonstrates any concern for our sovereignty and our national security. It's as simple as that. Now, people talk about 9/11 happening on the Bush watch. That actually started. That all started under Clinton, if you'll remember, with the original bombings at the World Trade Center. But even then, Bill Clinton, false, he did react militarily. Not always the way people would have wanted, but he did react. He didn't sit by and say nothing. He didn't sit by and pretend that nothing happened, or worse, he never would have intimated that it was our fault. Now, I'm not saying Dopey has done that yet, but somewhere, somehow, we're going to catch that, I'm sure. It's unacceptable. Now, I haven't looked at the video. I'm not going to look at the video. I don't care, because it's over and it's done with. I want to hear facts. I want to know exactly what happened, but I don't care to see video of stuff like that. I really don't. It's just I don't like seeing videos of war. I'm not weak stomach or anything like that. I just don't see the point of spending my time online looking at videos of that kind of thing. Unless it's controversial. In this case, it's not controversial. It's just simply fact that happened. Simple as that. It's an act of war, or certainly an act of aggression. Now, there are some things that are debatable. The Black Sea does border Russian waters. The Black Sea, theoretically, some might claim it as, you know, but that's beside the point. It happened in what are considered international waters. So that's, you know, but it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable that we don't react or respond. Now, if we find out that it's happening in private, we still have a right to know. Because this is a public act. It's public news. So we have a right to know how it's being handled. maybe right, not blow by blow, not call by call, but we definitely have to know how it's being handled or if it's being handled. This is a very dangerous president. This is not just a dumb guy or an idiot or a senile, coot. He's all of those, no doubt. But this is dangerous. This is a man that during his lucid moments is a megalomaniac. He's power hungry. He's greedy. He's selfish. But on top of all that, he's not very smart. He hasn't surrounded himself with anyone that I would trust to count change at a friggin' 7-Eleven, let alone work within our government and within our military infrastructure. He's compromised at best. Anti-American for his own personal gain at worst. And this has always been a problem with Big Left. They fire back with, oh, we're patriots just like you. No, they're not. Anyone who would sacrifice U.S. security or safety or economic well-being over ideology is not a patriot, is not working in the best interests of this country. It is therefore dangerous. You know, what they think happened January 6th of 2021 is going to pale in comparison to what could happen, all of this, the economics, the bank failures, you know, big tech cutting jobs, big tech running for cash. You know, it wasn't just big tech companies that got affected by that. There were companies, a woman running a company drove up to that bank to pull whatever cash she could because she had payroll coming. She couldn't get it. Regulators were there. They closed it. She had to find other banks. She had $25 sitting in a Wells Fargo account. That's a mistake, by the way. Talk about corruption. Now, there are a lot of things I can tell you for advice and all that. Like, you know, don't necessarily spread your money out over 8 banks. That's not necessarily the answer. But there are legitimate ways to do it. By having multiple accounts and maybe separating your, you know, any business and personal accounts, but sweep accounts that distribute your money into various accounts that are legally covered under FDIC statute. Now, you know, whether the statutes are right or wrong isn't the issue here. The issue is people are going to be running for their money. Credit Suisse just got $1 billion infusion and a lifeline. How long's that going to last? I mean, we always talk about parking your money in Swiss banks, and we have Swiss banks that are failing. Folks, this is, I mean, we're at that point. Question is, how do we react, both personally and politically and societally, culturally, whatever? But make no mistake, how this president has reacted to the Russian drone issue, how he's reacting to the bank collapses. I mean, you heard what he said about Signature Bank. Bank managers will be fired. Depositors will get their money. It won't cost taxpayers a dime. What the hell? It's already costing taxpayers a dime. If there are no assets to be recovered, it costs taxpayers to make depositors whole. Says investors will not be protected. Well, investors often are depositors and vice versa. You can't make a blanket statement like that. Do you realize what that could do to the stock market? Bank stocks in particular? Yeah, this is a dangerous person. This is a very dangerous person. Now, we're seeing still things like, oh, Supreme Court will hear case to overturn 2020 election. Forget that. We're a year plus, year and a half out from the 2024 election. It sounds like Dopey Joe's not going to run. If he does, and Kamala Harris runs with him, I mean, and no conservative can gain the White House, then we've got bigger problems. fraud among them, of course, because that would have to be – only election fraud could do that at this point, could reelect this guy. But make no mistake, he's dangerous, he's feckless, he's spineless. He lets other people do his dirty work, including his family members. He gets a cut. It's, you know, I don't like to talk about things like a military coup. I joked one time with Vito a couple of years ago, what would it take for a Secret Service guy to step away from protection? And like Vito said, no. When you get to that level, these guys honor their jobs and they honor what they do. It's not a matter of personal or ideology. It's a matter of principle. If it ever gets to that, yeah, we really are in trouble then. So I don't think a military coup, I don't support anything like that. I don't support Secret Service. But at some point, somebody's going to step in his inner circle and just tell him, you've got to stop. You've gone beyond. You're out of control. Your mind doesn't work anymore. Whoever, I don't care. Legally, morally, ethically, we have every reason in the world to get this guy out of there. Every reason in the world. The drone, the mixed messages that are sent out, you know, saying that they're granting more oil drilling as an example, but at what cost? At prohibitive cost, of course. So that nobody is going to want to do this, is going to want to drill when it costs that much. Nobody's going to invest in bank stocks when they're told investors won't be protected. Now, by bankruptcy laws, yeah, the depositors are handled first. But if investors are given the impression that they'll never be protected, you know, word it better even. Say that management, I mean, look, Silicon Valley Bank, the CEO of that bank, sold $3.6 million of stock recently. That's a good place to start if we're going to recover assets. That's a damn good place to start. Go find that Jack Wagon's money. What we need to do. But that's, you know, that's for another day now at this point. It's, you know, contact your congressmen, contact your senators, contact your governors and tell them this is getting out of control. I don't care if you have a Democrat governor or congressman or senator. Contact them. They need to know that they're part of the problem. But most of all, they need to know that this guy needs to be out at this point. He's out of control. He's incompetent, wildly incompetent. No response to a drone shot down. Blank, blind statements about how bank failures will be handled. It's idiotic. It shouldn't be happening, number one. But number two, if it's going to be dealt with, if we need to respond to these kinds of calamities, it needs to be handled by someone who's a little bit more competent, a little less agenda and ideologically driven, and by the way, whose idea of policy isn't shoving his thumb in his mouth and holding it up to test the wind direction. Or more accurately, whose wife isn't doing that. And family members aren't doing that. You know, investigations need to be had, and I don't know why this isn't being that. I don't know why potential role of a Barack Obama isn't being investigated here. Because some of this stuff, from the cabinet members to other appointees on down, is the hallmark of a Barack Obama presidency. So why aren't we investigating that? If we find out nothing's happening, fine. But his role in some of this can't be ignored or overlooked, his potential role. So there's that. It's just, you know, I don't know where to go from there in terms of what more can be said, what more can be done other than the things we should be doing, contacting our congressmen and senators, contacting our governors, contacting our local representatives. You know, if you live in the area where a bank has failed, you need to find out more about what happened. You know, I talked about last night a bank that had failed, or not failed, a thrift that was taken over. That's the more accurate term, because it didn't fail. But find out what happened. Some of these bank failures are really nothing more than accounting changes that happen. Find out why banks are investing in crypto and why they're allowed to. Why are banks getting involved with crypto? It's a different animal. I mentioned yesterday on Hank Jones Polysports, Governor Kristi Noem in South Dakota vetoed a bill that would have allowed a digital currency issued by a central bank to be considered money. She vetoed that. Good for her. You know, we have places where you can go in now and they won't accept your cash. Now, a buddy of mine had a very good response to that. Throw your cash on the cash, right, you know, on the table. And if they say, sorry, we don't accept that, grab your stuff and say thank you very much and walk out. The fact they won't accept your payment isn't your problem. That's theirs. You have legal tender to pay for goods. When you go to that coffee shop, that woke coffee shop, or that woke bakery, or that woke restaurant, or that woke store of whatever kind, and they say, we don't accept cash, tell everybody you know. Put it on social media. Send out texts to all your friends. And when people don't respond, send them again. And when people fire back, oh, that's their right. No, it's not their right. All debts, public and private. Legal tender. There is nothing that forces a business to accept credit cards. Nothing whatsoever. There is a law that forces a business to accept our cash. It is legal tender. It is our currency. That's how it works. My God, you go to other countries and they accept dollar bills. They accept American money. We have businesses in our own country that won't. Jesus, no wonder we have bank failures and business failures. We have idiots who have no concept on what this country stands for or should stand for, what it stood for when it was founded. And before anybody gives me that crap about it, it's a living document, like things ebb and flow. No, our founders did not envision that. And if you don't like it, leave. As well, I didn't like the way it was founded. No, it wasn't founded on the slave labor. It wasn't founded on theft. Founded on, you know, hyper-masculinity, no matter what these idiots will proclaim and what books they write or articles they publish. That's not how this country was founded. This country was founded to promote freedom. Economic freedom, personal freedom, personal security, freedom to worship how you want, freedom to defend yourself, freedom not to be oppressed, not to be railroaded by power-hungry cops or power-hungry legislators or power-hungry whatever. This country was founded on the premise of freedom. One of those premises is economic freedom, which enables people to create their own economic security, but with the basis to interact, to engage, to promote commerce. Good God, this idea now that we're not going to accept okay, let's just get away from that. The idiocy. We're going to have to combat it. And the way to combat it right now, contact all your senators, your legislators, your local politicians, your state politicians. For God's sake, if your local coffee shop doesn't accept cash, stand outside for a couple hours and tell everybody that walks in there, this place doesn't accept cash. I mean, think about a coffee shop that wouldn't accept American cash, but will sell coffee from Indonesia or Costa Rica, I don't care where, but will sell coffee from every place else on the globe, but it won't accept our American cash to drink it. I'm not even sure that rises to the level of idiot. I think they've got five rungs up the ladder before they can reach idiot status. That's what it is, though. It's idiocy. Okay, on to the brackets. So let's first talk about a couple teams that didn't get in. Rutgers did not get in. Vanderbilt was another one that did not get in. Clemson was another one. So in the NIT, Rutgers lost their first round game. Vanderbilt did win theirs. Wisconsin won theirs, although they were not really, I mean, once they lost, you know, they tanked down the stretch, so they just weren't going to make it. But, you know, Rutgers lost. Florida was 500, lost to UCF. Oklahoma State barely won. Clemson lost to Moorhead State. Cincinnati and Virginia Tech were two teams that sort of talked about. Cincinnati beat Virginia Tech. So, I mean, you start there, and there are some, you know, there are several things that you can draw from that. One, there are teams that are in the NIT, but they don't really want to be there. They thought they deserved to be in the tournament. So they get the NIT, and they don't really care. They don't give a crap. They don't show up. That happens. But, you know, that's life. So today's games, in the South region, we've got Alabama, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, Maryland and West Virginia, San Diego State and Charleston, Virginia and Furman, Missouri and Utah State, and Arizona and Princeton. East regional, today's games, Duke and Oral Roberts, Tennessee and Louisiana. So just two games going there. In the Midwest, Houston and Northern Kentucky, my Hawkeyes taking on Auburn at 6:50 in Birmingham. We're the eighth seed. Auburn's the ninth, but somehow they're the quasi-home team. Texas A&M taking on Penn State, and Texas playing Colgate. Now out in the West, Kansas and Howard, Arkansas and Illinois, and Northwestern, Boise State, and UCLA, UNC, Asheville. The first four were played, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, as I mentioned, they're in. So that's that. That's that, you know, they take that one. And Pitt is up today. They were the other Tuesday first four winner. So, okay, let's talk. Looking at the South, I think Alabama is going to move on. I think they're going to win their first game, and I think they'll beat the winner of Maryland, West Virginia, although both teams could give them trouble. Virginia and San Diego State are the next top seeds, should get out of their first round. Arizona is a two seed there. Baylor's the three. Yeah, I guess I'm looking at Auburn, and I think Baylor. I think Baylor's a better team than Arizona, although they didn't show it down the stretch. But I think Auburn and Baylor, or Alabama and Baylor, are in the South final. Now in the East, Purdue takes on Fairleigh Dickinson, who that was the other first four winner from the other night. That Duke's a five, Tennessee the four, Kansas State and Marquette the three and the two. I like Michigan State to get their first round. I don't know about them versus Marquette, assuming Marquette beats Vermont. But I would guess if I had to pick, I'd say Purdue and probably Kansas State or Michigan State. I just don't know how good Marquette is. don't think they've played the level. In the Midwest region, you know, if the Hawkeyes can get past Auburn, they can, if they can get hot, I think they can play with a Houston. Houston's very athletic. Definitely more athletic than Iowa. Indiana's the fourth seed in that region. They're overseeded, just as Miami is at five. Move on there versus Miami and Indiana. Iowa State, Pitt, one of the first four winners. Iowa State is a sixth, kind of intriguing, because they're not a bad team. Xavier with Jack Nungy, former Hawkeye Jack Nungy, looking good. Texas A&M, Penn State, 7-10. That's a good game. Texas is a good team. They are a good team. I don't know that they are a Final Four worthy team, but they are a damn good team. They probably, you could probably put them in the Midwest final. The upper half, that could be interesting, depending on how hot some teams get. If Iowa plays the way they did against Indiana 4 weeks ago, God, they can get to the Sweet 16 and get to the final of that regional. West regional, oh boy, that's a, in a way, it's fool's gold. There's a lot of ambiguity, but UCLA, Gonzaga, and Kansas, I'm not sure how good UConn is, the fourth seed of that. I'll go with Kansas and Gonzaga. I'll tell you why. UCLA is missing Jalen. I always say Jalen Howard. I know it's not Jalen Howard. But one of the best defensive players in the country. And despite the fact you need good three-point shooting and hot shooting in the tournament, you also need good defense. So with him out, I think that weakens UCLA. So I think Gonzaga's got the upper edge there. So, yeah, I'll say Alabama and Baylor in the South, Purdue and Michigan State in the East. The Midwest is the hardest one to pick for me. I'll say Iowa or Indiana against Texas. And then the West, as I said, Kansas, Gonzaga. Your Final Four, if I had to pick it, I would say Baylor, Purdue, Texas, and Kansas. I just think a couple of conferences are just a little bit better, just a little head and shoulders better in terms of tournament readiness. It'll be interesting to see the two best conferences, and really the Big Ten and the Big 12. You know, it's hard to say. There are some good teams in the other conferences, but the two best overall conferences, I think the Big 12 and the Big Ten. It'll be interesting to see how they do, because the latter, you know, the lower half of those teams, seed-wise, I mean, Penn State at a 10 seed, I think, is under-seeded. But, you know, Iowa at an 8, that's about where they deserved. Indiana at a 4, whoa. Sorry, that's just a little over-seeded, if you ask me. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. The games are getting ready. They're getting underway any minute now, really. 12-something, 12-10, maybe. So we'll see. We'll see in a few minutes. 12:15, it gets underway. Hawkeye fans, you're not going to like this thought. I don't know that we are good enough to get through the first round. I just don't. Auburn playing in Alabama, you know, I'm not sure how that happened like that, but whatever. The fact remains, we just didn't play very well the last couple games. We had no reason to be losing to Nebraska and to Ohio State. Zero to lose to those teams. And yet, the way we beat Michigan State, the way we beat Indiana, we play like we did in those games, especially the Indiana game. We can play with most anybody, not everybody, but most anybody. We can make a Sweet 16. But boy, the way we played against Nebraska, At Ohio State, yeah. I just know. I say Iowa or Indiana in the regional final. That's probably I could say Houston or Indiana would probably be a lot more accurate because Houston is more athletic than we are. We have athletes. It's not that we don't have athletes, but we don't have consistency. We don't apply much defensive pressure other than when we go into a press. Defense is very average at best. And frankly, we can get hot, but that doesn't mean other teams don't get hot. Because we don't defend a three-point shot very well. We don't switch off very well. And frankly, if teams go inside, we're very susceptible to foul trouble at this point. So, yeah, Hawkeye fans, I'd love to say that I really see us making the Sweet 16, but I see us either making the Sweet 16 or going down in flames today. That's about it. Just about it. All right, we're not necessarily running out of time, but there's really not – I pretty much came on to say these couple of things. Got out there when I wanted to get out there, but I can't stress enough the importance of contacting your representatives, both locally, statewide, and nationally. Things are happening now, economic things. We can go back and point to COVID and all that. That's fine. But that's done. That's past. Now, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was stupid enough to actually say COVID showed how resilient our banking system is. COVID didn't show that at all. All COVID showed was that our printing presses still work. That's it. There was no resiliency during COVID. Quite the opposite. And what I want to say, quite the opposite, what I want to say is oppression, suppression, was more the operative mindset during that time. And what came out of that, in addition to a Biden presidency, was businesses all over the country are struggling. Supply chain issues, still an ongoing thing. People are still paying a couple bucks more for a dozen eggs. I'm not saying a couple bucks more for a box or a case. I'm saying a couple bucks more for a dozen eggs. Eggs at one point were $18 a dozen in New York. On what planet? On what planet does that indicate a healthy or resilient economy? It doesn't. So contact your local, state, and national representatives. It's imperative that we do that. They don't answer, keep it going. And when they continue to not answer, publicize it. There are so many ways to get the word across on this kind of thing now. Social media, of course, being the main one, but use it. When a representative doesn't respond, use it. Hashtag them or whatever it is you got to do, @ on Twitter. Mention them by name. I continue to mention Maxwell Frost, my local representative, who's never answered the question about why he couldn't use excess campaign funds at the time, despite the fact he outraised all his competition by 10 times. Media dropped it. Why? It's a legit question. This guy says, I can't get an apartment in D.C. because I don't have good credit. And yet he had tons of money available at the time that he could have used operationally. It was virtue signaling. It was grandstanding. Well, why did our media put up with that? Why did our media allow that? Why did our media not look into it? I'll tell you why. They didn't want to. They thought it was cool that they were reporting that this poor guy who got money from Muslim interests, that this guy couldn't get an apartment with his excess campaign funds. They didn't want to report that. They just wanted to report that this poor guy was a victim. He's not. When a campaign raises $3 million, that's not a victim. A campaign for Congress raises $3 million. I don't care where it's coming from. That isn't a victim. It's just simply not a victim that you're looking at there. Well, folks, thanks. Duck, thanks for being here in the chat room. Hope folks that didn't, I did give this on short notice, so folks that weren't able to listen live, I hope you are able to listen to the canned version once it's in the can. In the meantime, good luck with your bracket picks. One of my buddies is picking Houston to go all the way. I think he's kind of crazy, but he's also a UCF fan, and they're in the same conference. So maybe that's what he's maybe that's where he's coming from. But I hope your bracket picks work out. Have a great rest of the week. Have a fantastic weekend. May God bless you, and may you amplify his glory and his love for us. Have a great one, folks. Send you out with a little Tommy Bolin. What the heck? Why not? Okay, folks, I almost forgot one thing. Barack Obama filled out his brackets. He's got Duke winning it on the men's side. I'm not sure where he's coming from, but he's a moron, so who knows. And he's got the Iowa women making it to the final and losing to South Carolina. So hopefully that's not the kiss of death, but you never know with him. In any event, have a great weekend, folks. Be safe. God bless.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.